Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. And I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't
everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And we're about to speak with Michael Lockhart of the Legacy Group, who recently made a Facebook post accusing River Tree Academy of being a sham. Mr. Lockhart further stated the school had caused a nearby public school to close and that the education being provided at River Tree was not causing the students to excel academically. Mr. Lockhart's belief is that River Tree Academy plans to buy up large plots of Lake Como and that River Tree Academy does not have the community's best interest in mind. That said, we reached out to River Tree this week, and we spoke with Dr. Justina Jenkins and asked her if she was willing to come on tonight and address Mr. Lockhart's concerns, and she said yes. So before we begin, a disclaimer, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, the host, or a future advertiser. With that said, let's talk Fort Worth. I see my guests are on the line tonight. I see Dr. Jenkins. I also see, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine. How are you? I see Mr. Lockhart this evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. And Adrian, your line is open. Mr. Lockhart, you made a long post this week, and you tagged me in it, and it the heading said, River Tree Academy is a sham. And it made quite a few, I'm going to say accusations, because I allege, I don't know. We're going to let Ms. Jenkins address your concerns tonight. So I'm going to call it accusations until we can decide who's right and who's wrong tonight. So can you tell us a little bit about you, Mr. Lockhart, before we begin?
About me personally?
Well, you're with Legacy, right? You're with the group Legacy? And from the Como community?
I'm with Legacy.
Okay.
Born and raised in Lake Como.
Gotcha. And Dr. Jenkins, can you tell us a little bit about you and your role at River Tree Academy before we began?
Yes, I sure can. I'm Justina Jenkins. I was born and raised in Georgia. I actually moved to Fort Worth about 3.5 years ago with my family to take on the role as head of school here at River Tree Academy. And as the head of school, my job and responsibilities is just to oversee all of the operations, everything from curriculum and instruction to the business office related here to the school.
Gotcha. So, Mr. Lockhart, tell us why you made the post and what was behind all of that. What brought all that about?
We are out in the community and we heard different things while we doing different events, and it was just bring to our attention concerning things that was going on at River Tree. And so when I went and started, you know, doing the research and looking at it, it just I just didn't feel right about the whole situation. And like the deeper we dig into it, the more stuff come to light. And this was the second post I made about River Tree. This wasn't the first one. I made a big one before explaining the history behind what River Tree is doing and what's really going on out in the community. But we act off of legacy. We act off of community feedback pretty much most of the time, because all we're there for is to make sure the community stands and everybody had their memories and stuff of the community, and we just wanted to move forward and keep our history. That's all we know. A lot of us that come from Como, that's all we know, and everybody is tight. It's a big family out in Como. It's 1 square mile of family. And, you know, we're just trying to do what's best for Como. It's nothing personal. It's nothing, you know, it's just from when I started researching it, like I put on my first post, the quote by Bishop Tutu is like, he said, when the missionaries came to Africa, we had the land, they had the Bible. We bent down and prayed, and once we got up and opened our eyes, they had the land and we had the Bible. And then you look at what's going on at River Tree. They come in the name of Christ, this Christian education, where the community has 17 churches. Why did they feel this community needed Christ so much? It's a Christian community already. There's 17 churches. So it's just disconcerting the way they operate, pretty much. You know, parading our kids in front of these rich white donors. Like, you know, look at the same thing as the Save the Africa commercials. They show the kids with the flies and around their face and all that stuff. But Africans have been in Africa for thousands, millions of years. They know how to keep flies off of them. But, you know, it's just the image that they want. Like, we helping to save these poor kids from Como. Now, we might not have been rich in money, but nobody in Como had to suffer or be without eating because a neighbor down the street go feed you. If a kid is hungry, they go get fed and all this stuff. We go take care of each other. So it was just the way they came in and the way they portrayed everything. It's not – Justina just got here 2-3 years ago or whatever, so she don't know the history of how Dr. Brown came in. This white man moved his family in Como, and they stayed and walked the blocks and got to know everybody. But the minute he hit Como, he's buying up land. You know, starting in 2014, 2013, he's buying up land and stuff. So it's just the way they move is real concerning to us.
Dr. Jenkins, you heard what he said. What are your thoughts?
First, I want to say I agree with a lot of what Mr. Lockhart said. That was one of the things when I first moved to Fort Worth. The first thing that I was really, truly impressed by was the sense of community in the Lake Como community. I mean, just from leadership all the way down to the NAC meetings, just how organized the community is, how close-knit everyone is. That was one of the reasons that drew me actually to Rivertree, is the mm-hmm. fact that I felt like I wanted to be a part of what that I saw was happening in the Lake Como community. So I agree with Mr. Lockhart on that. As he said before, I've been here 3.5 years. When I came to Rivertree, my goal was to find out what is it that our students needed, what were the goals for the families here at Rivertree, and how could I come alongside and make those goals happen. And from the time that I set foot on this campus, I met with all of our families. I met with different people in the community, and I wanted to try to find out what were the challenges and how do we work through that. And that's been my goal since I got here. I can't really speak on what happened before I arrived, but for me, I really wanted to make sure that our students were thriving academically. The Christian principles that had already been instilled in them was continued in our day-to-day academics and through our program, and that they were able to take that sense of community and pride that I saw when I arrived and I wanted to infuse that in the curriculum that we had here at Rivertree. When I arrived, I would probably say for the first 3 or 4 months, I went to pretty much every church in Como, and I met with the pastors, and I met with a lot of the leadership, and I wanted to find out exactly what I feel like the community was about, and I wanted to make sure that we infuse that in the day-to-day here at the school. So I stand with Mr. Lockhart on that. I agree with him. I actually do, and that's been my goal since I arrived.
Okay. All right. Well, then that's the good part, that you all agree on the fact that Como is a real community. But that said, it was
yes.
a lot of other things that were said in Mr. Lockhart's post. Do you feel that Rivertree parades the kids around in front of rich donors trying to get money from the donors, you know, as though this is some poor community that, you know, these poor kids, you know, please help them type of thing, like you said, from the commercials that you see about, you know, children starving in Africa. Do you feel that Rivertree portrays the children that way?
Absolutely not.
You haven't heard me.
I'm sorry, Mr. Walker?
No, I was asking, was she asking me the question or was she asking Ms.
No, I was asking that to Ms. Jenkins.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. One of the things that's very important to me is to make sure that all of our students have a sense of pride. They have a mm-hmm. sense of identity. They have a mm-hmm. sense of understanding who they are and whose they are. My goal is to make sure that each one of our students receives a quality education, not mm-hmm. to be a show or a demonstration for anyone. We have quite a bit of donors here at Rivertree mm-hmm. that provide the education that our students have, but not once since I've been here can I recall a incident or a situation where our students have had to parade or belittle or demean themselves in order for us to raise funds for their education. I wouldn't have that. That goes against what I believe that is my goal and my responsibility when it comes to the children and their families.
Well, Mr. Lockhart, let me ask you, where did that come from? Where did that accusation come from?
We were at some event in Como, and we were just talking about different stuff, and somehow Rivertree came up in the conversation. And like I say, we act on what we hear from the community, and there was some parents say, yeah, we went to this dinner with the stars or whatever they call it, but they made us stand way in the back of the thing, and they rushed our kids to the front, and the parents couldn't be with the kids, and we just didn't like it. We had a bad feeling about it. And once they said it, somebody else chimed in, and I was like, you know, and I went and looked into it, and I was just, I can see how they can feel that way. It's no, I mean, if you're there to help the kids and stuff, why the kids can't be with their families and you saying, hey, these are our children and the families of our children sitting together, you know, why they have to separate the kids from the families to go show the donors, hey, this is what they're learning and going on like this, just like the same thing with the black community. For you to get any kind of assistance, you got to get the black man out the household. So it's very similar actions that she's not responsible for, but it's stuff that's going on that she should at least understand the concern of how it looks to other people. Even if it's not the intention, she ought to be able to understand.
Dr. Jenkins, how many children are we talking about? How many students do you all have?
Yes, so this school year, we're in our seventh school year here at River Tree, and we currently have 94 students, so 94 students pre-K 3 up to fifth grade. When I arrived here at River Tree, I think we were somewhere around 60 students. That was 3 years ago, and we've grown from those 60-odd students to 94. We have a 96-student capacity, so we're near capacity.
Okay, this location is on Bunnell Street. I think the 5500 block of Bunnell Street. And Ms. Walker, I believe you made a comment in your post that you felt like they were trying to buy up the entire block of that 5500 block of Bunnell, and that was going to erase the history of that block. Can you tell us the history that you're referring to, and why do you feel like they're trying to erase it?
Well, basically, the 5500 block being the main block used to be what we call downtown Como. When they had the red brick wall of separating the black community from the white community up there on Brian Irving, this is where everybody, we had a movie theater down there, we had a furniture store, all, you know, a grocery store, everything was down there that you needed to survive as a community. We didn't have to leave Como for anything. So that whole block was ours. But, you know, over the years, different things happened. And then at one point when we were trying to, as a community, get it back up and say, hey, you know, we go and try to buy the property, some of them the city of Fort Worth had. And when several members of the community that had the means to buy the property and stuff, the city turned them away and wouldn't let them buy it. But here comes, you know, Dr. Randall Brown and Christ Chapel and all these people that's in the same circle, and all of a sudden they're able to get the properties, but the people of Como can't get the properties. And we made several attempts. So the history of it is that was the economic center of Como. Everything you needed from grocery store, like I say, movie theater, stores, whatever, lounges, everything was on that block, and that's the history. And where they are now, they're in the Masonic Lodge that used to be in Como, where the founders of Como gathered. They took that property. They're in that property right now. That's what River Tree Academy is now. It used to be the Masonic Lodge.
I understand. Okay, so you really feel that River Tree is on a land grab for Como, and it's not about the kids. It's about, if I'm understanding, and I want to put words in your mouth, but I'm understanding you to say that you feel like the school is just a sham, but the real intent is to buy up most of Como. Is that what I'm understanding you to say?
Right. Because if your intent was to come in and you really worried about the community, we had Como Elementary and Como Montessori. So if somebody came in and said, well, these kids need some more resources, why not go to Como Elementary and Como Resources and help ask them what they need and say, the kids need this now, we'll provide it. But when you separate yourself from the community, don't ask the community for anything in your operations, how you setting up stuff. You just come out there and start buying up land. And he moved in, Dr. Brown moved in long enough. I mean, it's just, you see, you love the community so much, he moved his family in Como. And then once he was able to get land and got things set, he burnt off. Dr. Brown don't come to Como no more. he don't deal with it no more. So what was your intentions of coming in Como and setting anchor, and then now you burnt out, but your plan is still, it's already in motion. And then the people you're in bed with, you go with Brian Bird, he lost a mayor race because he, you know, doing stuff with providing city contracts and stuff. So you in bed with him, and then, you know, they all tied in the Christ Chapel. It's just the way they all move, and it's like they want to roll over the community because they got the money and backing, and then the people in the community really don't matter. We not considered on everything. If you, why didn't you be able to provide resources to Como Elementary and Como Montessori? Why do you want to start your own school and then say it costs $10,000 to educate a child when it don't cost the city of Fort Worth that much to educate a child? It's just the way that everything was set up and the way they're moving, it's more about getting donors. And then when I start researching, going into Christ Chapel, going into Brian Bird, going into Dr. Randall Brown and Alan J. Brown, and just researching, going, tracking back, it's like this is what they do. They set up these nonprofit organizations to bring in money, and then they move on to the next. You start following the paper trail. There's a paper trail of this LLC and this LLC. You got to really pay attention to what's going on, just how they moving behind the scenes. That's why River Tree started off as Burn, and then, you know, and now they change it to River Tree. This is just what they do. This is just how they operate. They use these nonprofits to make money and to keep going. And that's their only interest. It's not, if it was about the kids, if the environment is bad, why wouldn't you come in and say, well, we're not just having the kids, we're changing the environments that these kids are in, and then the kids will benefit off of that. But they haven't tried to clean up anything from Como or do anything. They didn't try to make the park better. It needs new basketball court, tennis court, playground. Nothing is done if you really care about the kids of the community. And, you know, this is my opinion, I guess, what other people feel the same way, and that's why I spoke out on it.
Dr. Jenkins, do you want to address that?
Okay. Absolutely. So let me start. Let me back up a little bit. So currently, River Tree we're in three different buildings. The building that you're referring to in Bonnell, that's our preschool campus, and that's our business office. So we have 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds on that campus. We're at capacity in that building. Literally, we have office space in every corner of that building, and our students are downstairs in the classrooms. We're in capacity. We currently have 2 additional campuses that we're renting. We're renting out one is from a church, and another one is from another nonprofit that is here in the Lake Como community. The church, we have our kindergarten through third grade in that campus. That campus is currently at capacity. We have 4 classrooms that are in that building. We're at capacity in that building. The campus here off of Vickery, where my office is located, we have our 4th and 5th grade students in this building. We're currently at capacity in this building. When I came to River Tree, which is about 3.5 years ago, the first thing that was said to me is that our goal is when the numbers of students, when we reach capacity in these buildings, and when academically our students are thriving and being successful, we want to be able to consolidate to one campus. The board at that time informed me that they had, in fact, purchased land right across the street from Bonnell, the 5500 block that Mr. Lockhart is speaking of, in order to build a school building that would be able to house all of our students under one roof and to be able to grow the program in a way that was self-sustainable. Mm-hmm. So 3.5 years ago, that was the goal. It was not to purchase land all over Como. It was specifically so that all of our students could be on one campus. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we have spent quite a bit of time talking about and that Mr. Lockhart mentioned is Como Elementary, the Leadership Academy, and the Montessori School. I can speak as an educator. I support all education. one of the things that River Tree found to be important was that to be able to provide a private Christian education to the families in the Como community. So often, our students or our families, if they want to have a private Christian education, they're not able to do so because the tuition dollars, it's just not affordable. And so what Dr. Brown and the other board members wanted to do was to be able to provide a private Christian education to the families and to the students here in the Como community. So River Tree was founded on the idea of providing private Christian education to families that may not be able to have that as an opportunity because financially tuition would be a barrier. There are so many private Christian schools in the Fort Worth community, and you have tuition upward of $20,000 in each of those private schools. What River Tree was founded upon was to bring that same type of quality education to the children in the Lake Como community. It had absolutely nothing to do with the public schools that were here. I will be the first to tell you that when it comes to education, I believe in school choice. Families should have the right and the opportunity to send their children to a private Christian school if they feel like that that is best for their families. And that is what River Tree was founded upon. Founded upon the opportunity to give children in the Lake Como community to participate and to engage and be a part of a private Christian school. So now that we have reached capacity in these three buildings, the goal now is to have a school on that 5,500 block all under one roof. One of the things that Ms. Lockhart mentioned is the $10,000 tuition. He's absolutely right. There is a tuition here at River Tree because it costs, honestly, to educate a child. And so the tuition, however, is set in place so that we can provide the education that the students need here at River Tree. But we did not want that tuition to be a barrier. That is the reason why we have a development office. That is the reason why we raise money. When Mr. Lockhart mentioned Dinner Under the Stars is our gala. We have that event so that we can raise funds to educate the children here in the building. We understand that it financially there's a cost. Mr. Lockhart mentioned, well, how is it that they're charging $10,000 tuition and the public schools don't charge as much? Our student-teacher ratio is 14 to 1. That means that I don't have a single class in any of my buildings that have more than 14 students in it. In order, if Como Montessori or Leadership Academy were to go down to a 14 to 1 ratio as far as student-to-teacher ratio, you would see the cost of that education go up. It is expensive to educate a child with a 14 to 1 ratio. That's the reason why a lot of schools can't do it. The reason why we're able to have 14 to 1 ratios in our classrooms is because we're raising money to educate our children. I have two children of my own. I have a kindergartner that is at River Tree. I have a 13-year-old that is in middle school at a private school. I understand the cost that goes into educating a child. I want my students at River Tree to have the same Christian education as my son that's at one of these majority schools. I want my students that are here in the Lake Como community, they have the same opportunities that students in the larger Fort Worth have. That is the reason why we raise the money. It's not a land grab. For us, it is trying to figure out how to educate these children under one roof. My goal is not to erase anyone's history. That is not our goal. I'm going to speak for myself. That is definitely not my goal. I want to give the students and the children here in the Lake Como community opportunity to be up under one roof and to receive the quality education that I feel like that is owed to them.
Listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. We're talking with Michael Lockhart of the Legacy Group and Dr. Justina Jenkins, head of school at River Tree Academy. Mr. Lockhart said on a recent Facebook post that River Tree Academy was a sham, and in the very long post explained exactly what he meant by that. So tonight we're talking with Dr. Jenkins. As she's trying to address Mr. Lockhart's concern. If you have a question or a comment, the call-in number tonight is 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. That's 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. We're going to go to 682-252. You've been holding quite a while. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 682-252. Good evening.
5589.
That's you.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Carzell Wells, and I'm also a member of Legacy. Just want to say good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
Dr. Jenkins, if I may ask, why Como is my question.
I think that's a great question. I can only tell you what I've heard. So that question, I would say, predates me. But I can tell you what I heard is that Dr. Brown was part of, and I think Mr. Lockhart mentioned it earlier, that he started a nonprofit, Burn Ministries, and really just wanting to serve the children in the Lake Como community. And through that nonprofit, it was an after-school program, and it was a mentor program. And basically finding that even through the after-school program and through the mentoring program, feeling like the academically still not necessarily making the impact that he wanted to make, wanted to really honestly just pour into the children's lives, feeling like that it was not enough. And so as I understand it, that was the reason why River Tree was birthed out of that desire to really do more or be able to impact more of the children here in the Lake Como community. Why Como? Honestly, like I said, I think that that predates me, so I'm not sure of that.
So if I can just give you a brief history of that real quick, I know I got to move on. Como has always been a hot topic since we were kids of people across 30, the bridge of 30, which means your Westover Hills, River Crest, and Crestline. It has always been a hot topic of wanting that land, wanting to buy it. I can remember 20 years ago when you start seeing all the white people just driving through, looking, spotting. So, to you might not see it that way, but it is a great, it's a land grab because they want the property back.
Dr. Jenkins, would you like to address that?
Honestly, I know only because I can say that, like I said, it predates me, and I don't want to speak for anybody else. I can only speak to what I'm aware of and what's happening with the children today. So, I mean, I appreciate the history, but I can't really speak to that. I think one of the things for me, the reason why I wanted to come on tonight is because so much has been said about the quality of the education that the children are receiving. And the fact that we are using the children as a front, for the most part, for this land grab, if you would. And I will say that that is definitely not the case for me. When I came, like I said, 3.5 years ago, my goal was to make sure that our students were thriving academically, and that is still my goal today. One of the things that I heard, read, all of that is that the students are not performing academically. And I can emphatically say, without a shadow of a doubt, that's just false. It's not true. Literally, hitting my desk today was our academic results from this school year. we test our students at the beginning of the school year. We test our students again in the middle of the school year to see their academic growth. And then we test them at the end of the year to see how well they've achieved academically, mathematics, and in reading. Last year this time, and everybody knows, as a result of COVID, the schools were hit hard. And we weren't quite sure exactly how our students were going to fare as a result of going virtual and all of that. We went from not being sure to how our students were going to perform to about 18 months later. As I sit at my desk right now, 80% of our students are performing on or above grade level in both mathematics and in reading, 80%. And the other 20% that are not quite there yet, we have identified a plan of action to make sure that by this time going forward next year, they will be on grade level or above grade level. Out of that 80% that are performing on or above grade level, 40% of them are performing above grade level. So now, whether or not that is, you know, the land grab and all of that, the children are learning, and I'm making sure of that each and every day. Not only that, as I said, and as I promised the pastors here in Lake Como community, our children receive chapel. We have Bible every day. Again, I'm not trying to replace what they're learning in their churches and what they're learning in their homes. I'm coming alongside to try to support the families in that manner. So, again, I can't speak to whether it was a land grab or whether it's not, but what I can speak to is that our students are not suffering, and our students are clearly not a front for anything else. What happens in these classrooms each and every day is growth, learning, social and emotional development. That's my job, and that's what I'm showing here, showing up each and every day to do. I can't speak to the rest of that stuff, but the children in the building are growing. I have a 92% retention rate with our families since I've been here, 92%. So that says that the families that are here at River Tree see the benefits of their children being here. So the other stuff, I can't speak to. But the children are not the front for anything.
I can, Dr. Jenkins, this is Carzell. I can respect that. I totally understand you. And, you know, that's another conversation for, I guess, somebody else. So I got you.
Let me ask a question, Dr. Jenkins. One of the comments that were made, one of the statements that were made, said that they, that referring to River Tree, that they have community members on their payroll to be the face of deception. I went on to say that this is how they have operated so long in the community unchecked. How do you address that?
I'm so glad that you said that, because you're absolutely right. That was said, and again, not true. So as a 501c3, we, and as an accredited elementary school, River Tree has to go through a financial audit every year. And it is a rigorous third-party financial audit. We have, through our accreditation, we have people that are looking at our academics. On the business side, the auditors look through all of our finances. I write and I sign every check that goes out of River Tree. Every person that's on payroll, I recognize and I know the names. There are teachers. There are our business office. There are our leadership. There's not a single person on payroll that does not serve children in this building each and every day. I personally sign every check. And in my audit, if we were doing something financially that was irresponsible or outside of the mission or the vision of the school, they would find that in that financial audit, and we would be required to disclose that. I have to file a 990 report every year that follows the money. and dictates where we, it basically analyzes where we spend our dollars. I have had a clean financial audit every year since I've been here. And to my knowledge, Rivertree has had a clean financial audit since they've been in existence. And so I don't know who these ghosts are that receive checks, but it's not coming out of my payroll, and it doesn't come out of any of our bank accounts. Like I said, I personally put my very own signature on every check, and I can guarantee you that if someone gets paid at Rivertree, it's because they're teaching in a classroom, they are a building administrator in one of these buildings. They are addressing social and emotional needs with these children. That doesn't happen here. And I have a third party that can verify that. Anybody that wants access to our 990, it is public knowledge. There's no one here that is getting paid unless they are servicing children each and every day. I can guarantee you that.
Mr. Walker, where did that statement come from? What was it based on?
Statement wasn't literally about a payroll check coming to them. It's people that move in the community that it doesn't necessarily have to be a payroll check, but it benefits. It benefits you to work with us on this, and then we'll shoot something your way later. So it's underhanded stuff. People do that with nonprofits all the time. It don't necessarily have to come out the nonprofit funds, but they got other ways. It's just like they benefited off of getting land in Como. It wasn't straight up, it wasn't published. The other people in the community didn't have time, access to get the land. It was kind of handed to them under the cover. And I'm sure Bird had something to do with that. So it's not necessarily a payroll check, but it's like, hey, you team with us on this. We'll work with you on this. We'll, you know, it's, you watch my back, I watch yours type of action. And it's not only Rivertree, it's other people that's come out and done that type of stuff in the community. And it's, you know, it's underhanded. So I wasn't really talking about like they got a payroll to say, oh, this gonna be the you know, the face of the community. We gonna pay him like directly out of the payroll of the nonprofit. But it's you know, you kind of team with us, and we'll work with you on some other stuff, which happens. And so that's all I was referring to on that. So it wasn't necessarily about a payroll check. Is that that's how they operate? That's how politicians operate and everything. So there's benefits to you, you know, working with Rivertree on certain things or watching out for them.
Do you agree with that, Ms. Jenkins or Dr. Jenkins?
I can't speak to that. I don't know anything about that. That may be completely above my pay grade. I just know that when money comes out of Rivertree, it goes in the hands of people that are servicing these children.
Okay. I understand that you all are offering free daycare to basically lure the parents who can't afford daycare. Or Mr. Lockhart, maybe you want to explain that for me. I'm understanding you to say that they lure the parents in who need daycare, and that's how they get them to enroll their students. Is that what I'm understanding you say?
Like I said, again, it's a benefit. Like, you know, daycare is high and it's expensive and all this stuff. If they offer free daycare compared to Como Elementary, who can't offer free daycare, the parent that struggles with daycare is going to say, well, let me take my kid down there. So it's not the parent necessarily picking, oh, Rivertree really educated our kids, Como Elementary didn't. We go for the better education. It's just it benefits them to go down there and get free daycare. So when I was breaking that down, it's like, what are they providing? Like you say, this private Christian education. What is in this private Christian education? I don't know why Christian education has to be private, but what is in this education that you offer that makes the students ready for college or ready to be entrepreneurs, ready to be whatever they choose to be in this world that Como Elementary don't offer? And is it really needed in the community? Like somebody said, why are you here? What do you offer to our kids that Como Elementary can't offer besides the giving them the Bibles and stuff? Because it's a public school and it's probably state law or federal law that say you can't do this and stuff on school campus. But like I say, Como has always been a Christian community. We have vacation Bible school. We have Bibles everywhere. It's 17 churches in a 1 square mile. So it's never been a problem with Como not being Christian. why are you here? Is it why did Dr. Brown wake up and say, I want to move to Como and give them Christ, and now it's a land grab? It just doesn't add up. You know, the why? What is you offer? What is in this education that's going to be preparatory to Como Elementary? Why the kids can't be in Como Elementary? Doctors, lawyers, politicians, everything that came out of Como Elementary over the 50 years has been there. So why did somebody come in and say, we need a school out here that provides this private Christian education? It's just not needed in Como. The whole community is Christian. The whole community was one. I mean, the why, you know, and they nobody can ever just really answer that. It's just,
well, I can answer that if you may. This is definitely not a bid against Como Elementary. As I said before, when our students are in schools with administrators, principals, teachers, everyone, when our students are in schools and the schools love and pour into those children, then the children succeed. So I am a huge fan of what is happening over at Como Elementary. This is not a knock on Como Elementary at all. I celebrate. When Como Elementary thrives, I celebrate. As I said before, so this is not River Tree against Como Elementary. Please understand that. I was at a recent NAC meeting where the principal at Como Elementary highlighted the successes that they're having at their school. And I wanted to stand up and applaud louder than anybody else. So please understand that that's not what this is. As I said before, I am a proponent of school choice. I believe that a family, a mom, a dad, whoever is raising that child, to have the choice as to where they want to send their child. River Tree provide families a choice. That is it. If you want your child to participate and be a part of a Christian school, then River Tree provides that option. It's not against another school. I truly believe that children win when the families have options as to where they get to send their children. The 94 students that sit in my building, those families have made a choice to bring their children here. And I just want to make sure that they're getting the quality education that they deserve when they walk into this building. So this is not any knock against Como Elementary. I want to make that very clear. The question is about whether or not we provide daycare. Let me speak to that. We have a preschool that is aged 3 and 4. I can tell you so many different studies that say that children do well in school when they have early interventions and when they have access to education at a younger age. When I got to River Tree, the question was asked, should we be going up into higher grades, 6th, 7th, 8th grade? I said, before you start going up, we need to go down. We need to have younger students in the building, because if there's going to be academic gaps, we need to close those academic gaps at a younger age, not at an older age. When a child gets to 5 years old, you have missed a lot of years to pour into that child academically. So having a 3- and 4-year-old classes have absolutely nothing to do with daycare. They have everything to do with making sure that we are reaching our students at a younger age so we can start those social and emotional skills, so we can start building on those cognitive development skills, so we can start building those foundations at a younger age. That's why we offer preschool, not to provide daycare. Now, as it relates to our students are in our building from 7:30 in the morning to 6 o'clock in the afternoon, because what we understand is that we need to provide wraparound services to our families. So when school ends, we do provide after school. We do provide transportation services to our families that live in Como. We do provide tutoring. But again, this is not to provide daycare. This is to provide the wraparound services that we know that our students need and to provide resources to the families that go to here to the River Tree. So it's not a an option to provide free daycare. It's to make sure that the education starts at a younger age versus waiting until kindergarten. And I think, I can definitely see that our families understand the benefits of it because they don't leave after our preschool program. They enter kindergarten and they stay. As I said before, we have a 92% retention rate. So the families are not leaving after after they end their preschool. They're staying with us. So it's not providing a free daycare babysitting. Again, it is about making sure that we reach our students at a younger age so we don't see those academic gaps in later on the further they go on in their academic careers. We want to make sure we're closing those gaps before they even are created.
Adrian? Okay, let me. Okay.
I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good evening. Good evening to everyone. Good evening to you, Carrie. Good evening to you, Dr. Jenkins. Good evening to you, Mr. Lockhart. First and foremost, thank you both for coming on to have this conversation. Myself and Carrie, when she first got the information regarding the statement that went out, I was labeling it as allegation, but we'll just say the statement. When the statement went out, we came to the conclusion that this conversation couldn't be had if it was just one-sided. So you both being willing to come on to have this conversation just helps the whole of things and gives a broader perspective for what's going on and the thoughts and, you know, everything necessary going forward. And at the end of the day, we're just trying to get an understanding, you know, so we can move forward as God's children, you know. So I had one question for Dr. Jenkins, and then most of my other questions and I guess comments will be more directed towards Mr. Lockhart. Ms. Jenkins, what's the criteria for students being selected into River Tree Academy?
Great question. So we always say we're Como first. So the first thing that we do, the parents have to fill out an application. Once they fill out the application, we're looking for a few things. We want to know, are they residents of the Lake Como community? So they have to provide proof, if you would, of residency. We don't even open up slots, if you would, to outside of Como until June 1st. So we open enrollment at the top of the year in January. We allow all of our families that are in Como that are interested in coming to River Tree an opportunity to enroll. And then once we see that we have open slots, we'll open it up outside of Como, but that doesn't start until June. So that's number one. Then once we see that the families are interested in participating in the education that we offer, then we interview the families. We want to make sure that the families understand basically the education that we're trying to provide, and we want to make sure that they feel that River Tree is a good fit for their families. After that, families then have to decide on whether or not they're able to meet the financial or the tuition obligation. If they feel that they cannot meet that tuition obligation, then they have to fill out a scholarship application. And that scholarship application, that's where we're looking to see, is there a financial need? Do we need to come alongside the families and offer tuition support? So I think in one of the posts, or it was mentioned, well, they're raising money, but they're also asking the families to pay. That is that's somewhat of a true statement. The amount that the families pay is based on how much we feel that they can pay based on the financial information that they provide. We have families that are on scholarship 100%, and we have families that a portion of their dollars they are responsible for, and the other is covered in scholarship dollars that we raise in those events that Mr. Lockhart mentioned earlier. In addition to that, we require all of our families to volunteer a minimum of 10 hours a year. Why do we do that? Again, so much research shows that when families are involved in the education that their children are receiving, students perform better. So minimum of 10 hours of volunteer services. If you receive additional scholarship dollars, then your volunteer hours go up. So we have families that are servicing, volunteering as much as 30 hours a school year, but that is in exchange for scholarship dollars. So we start with the fact that we're COMO first, then we move into the scholarship process based on the financial need that the families have.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. That very informative information. I feel like if this was a test that we were taking, you would have basically gave us the answers to passing the test. So thank you for that information. So, Mr. Lockhart, I began with the history of COMO. The history of COMO is not one thing, so I won't try to touch on it. But one thing I can say about the history of COMO, one thing that stands out to me the most is the word community. COMO is a community. Nobody can take that from COMO. For the good and the bad. Through the good and the bad, COMO is community. COMO is community. Everybody knows everybody. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm going with. Everybody knows everybody, and it's like a family affair, regardless of what goes on. You know what I'm saying? COMO is community. You know what I'm saying? So that's in a nutshell regarding the history. Now, I will say this. You brought up the former councilman, Dr. Bird, you know, and I feel like a lot of people have who serve in office sometimes have a tendency to, you know, people talk a good talk, but you know, usually they talk it, but they don't always live up to the walk. So I feel like Dr. Bird is no more. So whatever he did when he was in office or didn't do, I'm not saying his feet wasn't held to the fire, but if his feet wasn't held to the fire, then it's just all null and void. But Michael Crane, I could speak to the current city council member. My thing is this, who were the voices that, because you're talking about the history of COMO being erased, who were the voices that felt like COMO should be in District 6? You know, I'm going to leave that be. That's a thought I'm putting out there. Who were the voices in the community that agreed that COMO should be moved into District 6 and not stay where it is in El Center that it's always been? And I say it to say this, because in your statement you spoke a lot about the whiteness of things, you know. Well, Councilman Crane just moved the community COMO from amongst whiteness. When you think about Arlington Heights, when you think about River Oaks, when you think about Westover Hills, when you think about Clearfork, Tanglewood, COMO sits in the middle of all of that. But they managed to root COMO up out of it when you look at the district map. And this is not about that, but I questioned because you were speaking to the whiteness of things, of how people coming in and I guess in wolves and sheep's clothing to deceive and to divide and conquer. Secondly, the black church.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
We're hitting too many things at once, but I can speak
okay,
on
go ahead. Go ahead. Speak on.
That was a decision by the community, and I don't know if you're familiar with Leon Reed, but he can explain to you why the community wanted to move to District 6. Crane didn't have anything to do with us moving to District 6. It was based on voting and the voting power of COMO, and it doesn't matter if we're in the middle of Westover Hills and Tanglewood and all the way down out to Westford, going toward Westford, all that is COMO is the only black community in the middle of that. So COMO's vote really didn't count for nothing from what I'm understanding in that district. So they pushed to make where members of COMO vote, that vote counts for something. So that was led by the community. So Leon Reed can break that down for you more on the voting aspect of it. It wasn't Michael Crane that did it. COMO asked to move, and they granted that move, you know, by voting or whatever. They granted that move, so.
Crane, this was Crane's map, district map. Each council member had a district map to create. Crane didn't just come up with that. He didn't, you said day, but this is Crane's district.
No.
He had to agree.
He didn't come up with that map.
He, he had to agree to. All council members came up with a map, sir. But I'm not here for that. I would just give. I'm just bragging.
I saw them create the map. I brought up that point.
I only brought up that point because you were speaking to whiteness. You had a lot right. in that statement about whiteness doing this and doing that. So, you also spoke of you said 17 churches, right? 17 churches within the Como community. 17 churches. You also
right.
spoke about the land that's been for sale for years. You know what I'm saying? You spoke in regards to that. My thing is this: the 17 churches operate just like River Tree operates. They operate tax free. They only thing with River Tree, they had to give an account because of their finances, because they're doing something other than I think I'm hitting a nail on top of the head. They're doing other more than just church. They're schooling and educate, blase blase. But the churches within the communities operate tax free. They don't have to report nothing to the IRS. So why did none of the black churches come together? If education was so important to teaching our babies, why did none of the black churches come together and buy off the land? All the lots are being built. They're building new houses on the, they're building new homes on the empty lots as we speak. So they're taking the blight out of the community. Yeah, it's going to raise property taxes, but it's taking the blight out of the community. So why have none of the black churches?
I can definitely answer that. Like I say, Legacy just got on board 3 years ago because different us moved away and all that stuff. When we come back, the pastors, that's the first people we reached out to and say, hey, why y'all not on the same side? Why y'all not operating in the community and controlling things and doing it? But they are separate. But we're working on trying to get them together. But that doesn't just clear it up because the churches is not doing it. That downtown can make a connection to white people, and then they come in and take over the community.
You spoke to 50 years of history. So them churches have been there way longer than River Tree. Nobody should have to come in and ask them why are they not doing this or doing that. The churches have been there for years and years and years. So, you know what I'm saying? They operate tax-free.
Right.
They get money tax-free. They can buy
right.
anything they want. They can build the school. They could have built the schools. That property that
right.
sits across from the old that property that sits across street from the old Larry store is before they demolished whatever was on there, and then the thing that was next door to the Larry store. Come on, this property's been for sale. So
right.
again,
they wouldn't let them buy it. They wouldn't let them buy it. It was a group of people that went and tried to buy those properties in the city of Fort Worth, held on to them, and would not allow them to buy it. But they gave it to River Tree. That's one of the things I said that in my first post, is that these properties were not allowed to get into black people's hands. It was people that formed a group, went and tried to get the property, and the city was like, we got to do this and make them jump through hoops. But as soon as River Tree come along, the property goes to them with no argument. That was one of my arguments. Now, we can get our church together and try to form and do something, but if the city not participating in it, the churches really don't have no power. It's all about the connections you make. Dr. Brown had connections with Brian Bird. He's still connected to Brian Bird. They got a medical practice together now. So Brian Bird was mm-hmm. in downtown, in City Hall, whatever, and he made things happen in Como that the community of Como couldn't benefit from. The people of Como couldn't benefit from. So
now the school,
that's part of my argument that we let us take care of ourselves. This land was given to the blacks way back then. Let us work out our own issues. We don't need somebody coming in from the outside and then taking all the money out of Como.
You know what, brother? That argument has been that narrative and that talking point has been used throughout all the black communities for decades. We say let us take care of our own. We had a resource. We don't dissect the issues of our communities, but how often do we do it? How often are we doing it? But this is not about attacking us.
Do we just give up?
No, sir.
It doesn't
matter
how long we do it.
If you bring up a point, if you're bringing up a discussion or a point of a reference, you gotta be able to put this log in the fire. So we talking about it.
Right.
The closure of the monastery school, that's the Fort Worth ISD issue. I don't think that has nothing to do reflect on River Tree. Because my aunt states that
I didn't say it had effect on River Tree. What I said was
what I'm saying though, River Tree has nothing to do with the closure.
Closed.
Has nothing to do with that. Has nothing to do with
it. I didn't say it had nothing to do with it. Y'all misquoted me. What I said was, what do they want? They want Como Elementary to close. We just had Como Montessori close due to lower
attendance.
If you build another school and then you drag some students away from Como, now Como would have capacity. What are they going to do, close Como Elementary? That's where I was heading with that. So I didn't say that it caused it to close. I said
Como's capacity is not threatened by River Trees. Como's capacity is not threatened by River Trees. That's a public school. I'm saying. I said Como's leadership academy is not threatened. It's not affected by what River Tree is doing. That's a public school. The numbers they got numbers. They got the numbers that they need. River Tree, like she stated, it's a process to get into River Tree. You know what I'm saying? It's a process, and them wanting to expand, they're growing. They can't just stay a shell of themselves. They have to grow. They have to grow. They just can't stay a shell of themselves. They have to grow. And then if they moved it out of the community, people have an issue. I guarantee if River Tree decided to pack up, leave, boo, 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 no more, we're not doing this, people will have an issue. So as far as the teachers,
nobody
being there, you
Como would have
it. I see. Now you speak for everybody in Como, sir. You can't say that, sir. You speak it.
You just said they would, like everybody would. I just said everybody would.
Well, not everybody. Everybody wouldn't have it. Okay, hold on. If River Tree, some people would have an issue. Let me put it in perspective. Some people would have an issue if River Tree was the lead. Some people would have issues with that. Okay, so we ain't gonna say all. Okay, the teachers you spoke of. You say some of the teachers there on payroll from the community. They use as a front, blase. But hey, they're about choice. They're there because I'm pretty sure River Tree vetted them, feel like they were qualified to be there. And they were necessary. And then sometimes that's called if you saying it's a business, operate like a business. That's best business practices. Get somebody that knows the community or knows the area to align with us, so people see them and say, oh, okay, such and such, and so okay, I can check it out. Blah blah blah. You get the point. As far as legacy, the group legacy, do you all operate as a LLC or nonprofit, have you all come together to, because you all had to, you all are a entity, a group of brothers that believe in, you know, you can explain more legacy than I can, but do you all operate as a nonprofit, you know, to where y'all can get dollars in, to where y'all can do things for the community, for sake.
Right. Yeah, legacy is a nonprofit, but this is not about legacy. This is about River Tree and what I posted about River Tree. So if you want to talk about legacy, we can go into legacy on a whole nother
No, you get where I'm going with it. I'm just saying, listen, if you can call out one aspect, you gotta be ready to answer.
Right, but you asked me about legacy. In my posts, I didn't mention legacy.
Your post is a blanketed statement. I'm pretty sure everybody doesn't agree with that. But as a black man in this, and I know you know this, when you get to throwing out racial overtones and these certain words and phrases, it catches people's emotions. It catches people's attention, even if it's not nothing factual. If I have an issue with a white person and I record it and we just have an exchange and I say, you racist, without anybody knowing what happened, if I just say, you racist, everybody going to forget about everything else and say, they're going to look at me as a black person, this person a white person, they're going to say, racist. So that's what words, when you throw certain words out, you got to, okay, I'm finishing up. I just had a list. I said when you throw out certain word, no, I just used an analogy, an example. If I was to have an issue with a white person out in public and I was recording it and I was live with it and I just say, they just came into the live feed. They don't know what's going on. And I say, you racist. I just, out the head, just say that. This person probably didn't say nothing or do nothing that exemplifies racism, but I just say that. You know how many people eat that up because of how I look? Without even knowing the content of what or why I said, I could just be saying it just to be malicious because I know it's gonna carry weight. That's why I say in your statement you was talking about the donor, you talking about the how the you reference a lot like the whiteness of River Tree, and it's like just a like.
Well, I didn't say nothing about the whiteness of River Tree. I didn't say nothing about the whiteness of River Tree.
The donors.
I said what I pointed out was that we don't need white benevolent Christians coming in to give us Christ, and then they taking the land. If you come in with Como with true intentions on educating our children, if she can tell me this school is accredited, we can do this and this and we do this, fine. You won't hear no argument. My whole argument is about educating the kids. I never once said that the school was a problem or whatever, but the way they operate is a problem, and that's why I said it's a sham, which a sham is nothing but something that appears to be what it's not. And the people that started, the way they moved, was not what they true intentions weren't for the kids of Como, because they don't operate and they don't act. If you give somebody a Christian education, you shouldn't have to keep anything secret. You shouldn't have to, like I'm saying, parade kids in front of white rich donors and all that stuff. Just come help the kids. Jesus didn't have to go heal somebody and parade them in front of people. Hey. Look what I did. All he told them was, hey, you heal and you tell them I did it or whatever and move on. So I'm talking about the Christian principles and the Christian education that they stress. It's not really what it is. If you for the people, for the whole nine, then nothing else should matter but the education of the kids. And if they want to educate the kids, do that. If River that's Tree, what you hear, do that. But don't
River Tree will not be able to operate without donors. Just like Como Leadership Como Leadership Academy will not be able to operate without federal dollars or state dollars, you know, the money that makes it possible for those kids to be at their school. So their donors are necessary.
Our kids shouldn't have to be paraded in front of the donors like to save the Africa kids in commercials. Our kids shouldn't have to be paraded, get donors and show them, hey, we helped this family. This family was living in an apartment when they came to us, but we got with them, and financially this family is well off. They was able to buy their first house. This kid is in a better environment because we helped the whole family. It shouldn't just be parading the kids, separate the kids from the family, and then put the kids out front, and the donors say, oh, we got to help those poor kids. They might be poor as far as financially, but Como has always been rich. In education, rich in everything else, as a community. Como ain't never just been a poor community. The community was started off the back of men who started Como, and they came together as a community and created Como off the back of strong, educated men. That's why they gave Como Park to Doc Wilburn and them, because these men stood up and went downtown and did things for Como nobody else did. So we don't.
I'm digressing. Thank you both for hearing me out. Thank you all for again having this conversation. It's a necessary, needed conversation. But I would say this though, if we could hear from somebody who has benefited from River Tree and loved the experience, and if we could hear from somebody who felt like the experience wasn't this, that, or the other, then we'll be hearing from the people who are directly. Who benefited from it, or who felt like they didn't benefit from it. Right now, everybody, we just in the middle. So, but again, thank y'all.
Dr. Jenkins?
Yes, I just wanted to say two things. I heard Mr. Lockhart say. I heard him say that he does not want to have our students being paraded around any other group. And I can't speak to what happened before I got here, but I don't parade our students around. I would never demean them in that way. It's not necessary, and it definitely would not be tolerated up under my leadership. So we don't do that. I don't separate my students from their families. We don't put anyone in the back of the room. That's not what we do. I can't say that that didn't happen before I arrived, but I can tell you that that does not happen now. The second thing I heard Mr. Lockhart say is that as long as we are accredited and that there is someone that's overseeing our academics here at the school, he don't have no issue with that. We are not only accredited, we are dual accredited. We have two accreditations. We have the Association of Christian Schools International, ACSI, accredited. And we have been accredited by CONEA, which is, it used to be the SACS. If you go old school, that's SACS accreditation. Both of those accreditations are nationally recognized. And so there is a third, it took us when from the time that I arrived up until recently this year, I have been working on that accreditation. So we don't have one accreditation, we have two. So if those, if that's one of your sticking points for us, you can check that off your list because we do have, we have dual accreditation here at River Tree. So no children are being separated from their parents. No one's sitting in the back of the room, and we have accreditation. We have an accreditation third-party organization that oversees the curriculum and instruction that we have here at River Tree. So I'm with you on that, and we don't, we don't do that, but I have no issue with those concerns that you have. Not at all.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. We're talking to Michael Walker of the Legacy Group and Dr. Justina Jenkins, head of school at River Tree Academy. Mr. Lockhart said in a recent Facebook post that River Tree Academy was a sham. And tonight, River Tree is responding. So if you have a question or a comment, get on the phone line. We're at 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. That's 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. We're going back to the phone lines, 817-446. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hi, Carrie. I think that's my number you called out. Is that correct?
That is.
Bob here? Okay.
Hey, Bob.
I want to thank you guys for being on tonight. It's a very interesting show. I've been listening in. I just have a couple of questions I want to tap on, and I'll get off real quick. One on the redistricting, it's been a scam from the beginning, okay? They lied from the beginning. I've been at every meeting, all that, through that. And one thing, the council members, none of them should be drawing the maps. People that have political interest and gain should not be drawing the redistricting maps. That's one. Two is, I don't believe just because the community wants it redistricted that way, it be that way. It should be not done by race or gender. Or that should be done by numbers and drawn out that way. But anyway, that's on redistricting. The other thing was, two things I wanted to tap on. One was in the schools, what I'm curious about, transgender sex with the neutral, I'm running out of breath here, I'm sorry. But anyway, the same bathrooms, because I work concerts. The show I worked last night, they put signs up over the restrooms, and they were neutral. Anybody can go in any restroom. So I was wondering about that. It was one thing. I'm going to get off the phone and let you comment on this. But I was wondering about that. What do y'all think about that? Is that okay or not? And the second thing in our schools, what I think we need to teach, and I don't know if that's happening at the private school or not, but I think kids need to start learning when they come out of school to know who their mayor is, what district they live in, and who their council member is. Put three seeds in their head, at least something in their head, when they come out to learn about their local government. And I'll tell you what, I'll get off and take a break and listen if that raises any interest, okay? And I appreciate y'all coming on. And, Carrie, thanks for having the show, okay?
Thank you, Bob.
Okay.
Dr. Jenkins, do you want to address that?
I'll start with the last part. What I heard the caller say is that he believes that our students should have an understanding of our government and the civil rights and responsibilities as a citizen, and I agree with him. I totally agree with him. One of the things that I think so many times we spend so much time talking about our rights as citizens, but we don't talk about our responsibility as citizens. And so as a responsible citizen, you need to know who your representatives are, and you need to understand the power of the vote. And so I agree with that. I agree that we need to teach our students both their rights as well as their responsibilities as citizens in their cities, in their state, and in their country. So I definitely agree with that. We don't necessarily get into the gender conversations, again, we're 3-year-old to fifth grade. And so we really spend a lot of time teaching our students who they are and who they are in Christ. And so we really spend a lot of time talking about identity, and that is how we approach that here at River Tree.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. We're going back to the phone lines, 817-925. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk What Works.
Yes, this is Marcus Hudson.
Hi, Mr. Hudson.
Can y'all hear me?
We can.
How you doing? This, yes, this is the president of Legacy. Let me address Mr. Adrian and Dr. Jenkins. It's not a question about the school being accredited. Miss Indy's Christian Academy is accredited too. So, like you said, you didn't know what happened before you came. So if the donors was interested in the preservation of Como and the vital interests of Como and preserving that historical legacy of Como, why not invest in Miss Indy, who is a product of Como High, who has a proven record, who is also accredited also. So why not invest in her? Now, let's go back. I warned the elder leadership long time ago when Dr. Brown showed up. I warned them. I say, why is he here? Why is he here? Why does white donors want to build a school in a predominantly black community? What's your interest? How does it benefit you? See, the biggest trick the devil ever pulled is convincing the world that he never existed. That's the biggest trick that he ever pulled. So why you go to the most historical place in the community, which our elders referred to downtown Como, which used to be the business district? You go to the old Masonic Lodge, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the community, you want to build a school. Why not go to Tanglewood and build your school? Why not go to Riverbend Estates and build your school? Why Como? No one is questioning the success that you're having. That's not the question. The question is the foul intentions behind the future of the school. Now that you're talking about expanding, you are uprooting one of the great matriarchs of the community. Miss Cleo, I haven't heard you speak on that yet. So could you please expound on the expansion of the school and why the community as a whole don't even know anything about that? And before you go, let me say this. I know for a fact that it was a group of elder men that tried to buy back that same block, and there were certain forces in place that didn't allow them to buy it. I know that for a fact. So I don't know where the lack of oversight is coming from in the city, but we do know Christ Chapel, Brian Bird, Dr. Brown are all in cahoots. Let me add Tim Fleet. We all know that. So it's not a question of how successful your school is. That's not the question. What we're questioning is the future intent of the school. So can you please speak on that?
Well, you're speaking to Dr. Jenkins? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I want to address a few things. Marcus mentioned about Miss Indy School. I have reached out. I acknowledge that there is another Christian school right here in the community. So, it's not my goal to divide or to separate or to even discredit or compete against Miss Indy School. That's not my goal at all. As I said before, when students are in a school where people love, pour into, and educate children, the children win. So I'm not betting myself against or in competition with Miss Crosby or Miss Indy. That is not my goal at all. I celebrate her students, and I hope that she celebrates our students. So, again, this is not in any competition against Ms. Indies, against Como Leadership Academy, the Montessori School. This is about, for me, school choice. And parents have the option to send their children to the school that the parents and the families feel like is best for their children. That's where I stand on that. As it relates to the space, as I said before, some of these decisions and some of these options predates me. What I know is that when I came, the statement from our board was that once we reach the place where we have reached capacity in the buildings that we're in now, we want to make sure that we're able to provide a space, a safe, quality environment for the students here at Rivertree. And that space on that 5500 block was the space that was designated. Why that space was chosen, I don't know.
Right.
I can't speak to that.
Right. Right. It was, like I said, the foul intentions, the snakish ways that it was done to get the property. That's the issue that we have in the community. And I guarantee you, not only that property, but several other properties in the community. We know for a fact that a lot of citizens have tried to acquire multiple properties in the community and was denied. And all of a sudden, the developers have it, or Riverside has it, or other entities have it that doesn't share our common interest about preserving the community. That's fact. So it's the foul intentions behind the way they're moving is really what we're questioning. What's your true intent? See, we understand that you're doing a job. We respect that. No issue. But we don't really want to talk to you. We want to talk to your board members. So tell them to come on from behind the tree. That's who we want to talk to.
Let me say something on that. One of the comments that you made, Mr. Lockhart, was that you all had reached out to Rivertree Academy to have a meeting and that they ignored your request. Is that accurate?
They don't necessarily ignore the request, but they beat around and say, well, we got Justina, you know, talk to her. No, we don't want to talk to her because we already knew her only answer to us is going to be this predates me. Because we're going back to stuff that happened in the community. So they don't want to meet with us. They don't want to talk. They don't want to talk to the community. They didn't even have a ribbon cutting ceremony for the school or anything that the community can participate in, and it's a happy occasion or nothing. It's like everything's just done undercover. You try to send, you know, emails, hey, we want to meet. Well, we got Justina, and then, you know, and it's just the way they operate. Like we said, the way everything's been done, the way they operate, our problem is not with Justina. She's new to this. She don't understand the deep historical ties of the Como being this black community. It used to be a brick wall that separated Como from the rest of the city. They had us walled in on one side to keep us from getting to the white side of town. So it's a history of racism and the way they operated and treated Como over the years that boils up to this point here where we get to questioning why, you know, Dr. Brown, out of everywhere he can go, he come in the middle of Como, kiss the black babies like a politician and say he loved Como so much, and then he burned off, but his anchor is there and the plan is in place, and he started acquiring land immediately. And then his land that elders were trying to get, his land that other people would be, but the way they're moving, it's like it's erasing the history of Como. We can't preserve anything because they just take over everything. The minute something come open or that somebody attempts to do something, you know, they got the money and the funding behind them just to beat out everybody in the community. So it's just the way they're moving, the way things have happened in the past, the way things are currently happening, the way they won't meet with you. If I was accusing somebody of something, I'd stand in front of them and be like, hey, this is not what my intentions was. If he had true intentions, my intentions was to give, like she said, was to bring a true Christian education in there and all this stuff. If that was his true intention, he ought to be able to say, stand up and say that. And he was out here kissing the babies and stand up and saying how much he loved Como. So why you, when the members are standing up questioning you, why you can't come out and answer those same questions? It's just like he came in and disappeared like a thief in the night. It's the way they move. We understand that they have stuff at Rivertree that's going on under her direction or whatever, and she's getting things done and she can be educating the kids and all this stuff. But before her, it was not that. It's not what she's describing. She's describing a whole different scenario, and it's people that commented to us. We didn't just come up and make this out of the blue. It was people saying, I took my kid out there at Rivertree, and they went to over here, and they were just behind on scores. They was this and that. We listened to the community, and we we're the voice of the community, so to speak. Legacy is the voice of Como. There's nobody else that's going to fight for Como and stuff like us. We're here. We're not going nowhere, so people might as well get used to it. They're not going to move in Como like they have in the past by picking certain leaders and calling them the leaders of Como and pushing stuff through without notifying the community. All we're here, we don't benefit off of nothing. All we're here for is to preserve Como, stop this gentrification, stop all these games the city is playing with Como, and to keep Como and the history alive. And River Tree is right in the middle of that and racing that, and they don't care, like you mentioned. They're going to take up a whole block in the middle of Como, knowing the historical relevance, but then one lady didn't sell her house. So you said you want this property so bad, you're going to build up around this lady's house and have a house sitting in the middle of your parking lot because she didn't sell her property. That's not the way you operate, especially if you're operating from a Christian standpoint. With all the land that's laying down there on Horn Street that's available, there's so many things they could have did different than try to post up right there on the center of the downtown Como, the historical relevance.
Let me ask a quick question, because you speak of this land that was they taken, but they're not taking anything. The land was for sale. My thing is you all's issue.
Let me finish my point, sir.
Respectfully, nah. Let me get my point out, sir. Please, we don't do that on her. Let me get my point out. Is you all's issue with River Tree and the founder of River Tree, or is it with the city, or is it with who is you all's issue with? Because if River Tree did not acquire this land, what was that land going to be used for? Who was going to buy that land? What was the vision for that land? If River Tree did not come into the community, what was the land going to be used for? What was the vision for it,
sir? There again, let me get this, sir. I put blood on this. I know for a fact that a group of elder men, which many have passed on, tried to acquire that land, and their exact words was, "It was certain forces, certain people in the community and through the city that didn't allow them to buy it." Now, what they was planning on doing with it, I don't know. But I know for a fact they tried to acquire not only the block, but many other properties in the community that a lot of citizens tried to buy when they went up for sale, and the city wouldn't allow them to buy it. So therefore, there has to be some oversight. Hold on. There has to be some oversight. There has to be in the city. Same thing that's going up with the bottom of liquor store. Somebody's looking the other way, obviously. Okay? So, therefore, there was attempts to buy that block back. That's fact.
So, my thing, real briefly, so, again, is the issue with the city or with River Tree? Because you say that they – River Tree couldn't do this without somebody looking. If we make it into like somebody looking the other way or whatever, hitting them.
Right, they couldn't do this unless
it was allowed. So it starts with the elected official. Right. Elected official.
Right. The elected official at that time, right. We just stated
it
that.
It starts with the elected
right?
official.
We just stated that.
So,
okay,
a
we
person,
can talk about the elected official.
I digress.
The elected official
I digress.
At that time. Okay, the elected official at that time, Adrian, was Brian Bird, who had ties to who? Christ Chapel. Okay? Who was partners with who? Dr. Brown. I mean, come on, people. I ain't got to see the fish in the water to know they in the water.
All right, y'all, we're going back to the phone lines, 817-378. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk for Words.
Good evening, Brother Malik here. I've been listening, man. You know, when it comes to property, somebody owns that property, which can be purchased, because I'm from Holland Hills, and fortunately we don't have those issues. Como been on the radar of being taken since the 60s. They've been trying to get the black folks up out of that. I mean, when you go to that neighborhood, man, you know, it goes two ways. You got to have civic pride when you come to preserving what needs to be preserved. You can't have trap houses on every other corner and don't know. And then you look the other way and talking about preserving something. It's some internal things on a civic matter within the community, not a hood, but a community that needs to be done. And if people are not taking care of their property and you come up for sale, like Brother Adrian said, anybody, it's fair game for anybody. I mean, I hear y'all screaming at the people of Realtree, but
nobody,
you know,
Nobody's questioning that.
We, you running down on this, but it's quite a few Hispanics that are purchasing property and income also. So, how do you look at it, bro?
Is that a question?
Yeah, that's a question.
Are you okay?
That's a question. I see. I hear you talking about the people at Realtree, but nobody.
Right. Let me address what you're saying, sir. Let me address what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Nobody's denying what we abandoned. They took. That's one of the greatest weaknesses of our community, right? Because we don't. But this is why Malcolm. Hold up. Let me speak. This is why Malcolm said we politically naive. We politically immature because we don't. We have yet to understand that all political and economic infrastructures begins with ownership of the land. We get that, but you got to understand. We just now getting into the fight 2 years ago. We recognize the problem. But we also know Como didn't get like this overnight. And we know damn well it ain't going to get out of this condition overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we very well aware of that. So therefore, we are working, sir. We are working. And we very well aware of the trap houses and what the Hispanics are doing and so forth. So we very well aware of that. We not turning a blind eye out of that.
Hmm. Okay. So... You know, and y'all, I don't know, this discussion is going somewhere. I don't think it's supposed to be going tonight. The focus is Realtree.
No, it's right on top. It's right on top.
Okay. But do we agree to the fact that concerns have been addressed by Dr. Jenkins tonight, or are you all saying you don't want to talk to her, that you have to talk to somebody above her? I mean, are y'all going to completely disregard her title and her status at the facility and only demand to speak with someone above her?
Well, she's not the one making the decisions for the expansion.
Yeah. Everything that Dr. Bill has said in the past is that she has to take it to the board. So she actually doesn't make the decision. She has to take it to the board, and the board makes the decision. Well, we just wanted to meet with the board and say, hey, you know, what's going on? Or, you know, what's y'all plan? They still haven't brought it to the community. When we tell people there's a new school coming up, they like, we didn't know that. Who? And we like, Realtree, and they just, people in the community that don't know because they've been operating undercover. So, our problem is not with her. We're not saying that she can't teach a student something or get her teachers in line because her teachers went to school and got educated. So I'm sure they can teach. But what we're saying, the way they did it to acquire the land, and now what's this going to do to the future of Como? He said that it's not going to affect Como Elementary because they stay funded where they just closed Como Montessori for low attendance. So if you got two elementary schools, the same students, if you divide them in half, say they take half of Como students or whatever, then that school will be on the radar for low attendance because they don't have the same attendance as something else. So is Realtree, the basic thing of my thing, is Realtree really needed in Como? What made Dr. Brown feel that Realtree was needed in Como? And if it was a private Christian education, what did he see in our kids that showed that this wasn't a Christian community? There were more than 17 churches back then in Como. And everybody knows a preacher went to church on Sunday mornings, went to Bible school. So we question his intentions. We question his ties with Brian Bird and how these city properties just made it into Realtree's hands. I can go back down the real estate line on TAD, and I do my research, you'll see every property on Bonneville, City of Fort Worth, River Tree, City of Fort Worth, River Tree. And they did it on end. Nobody, they do stuff. And we know because Brian Bird just got called out on it by giving people contracts and stuff while he had his little position of power. So we're focusing on what they're doing to Como and what their plans are for Como and how they moved into Como. And they just disregard the history of the people that's there and what we want for our community. Why would you want to move in a community where the people ain't even really caring if you're there or not? If River Tree left Como right now, them kids would go to Como Elementary, still get an education, still have a shot at college, still have a shot at life. You know, it's not something that needed. Like, this was, Como was on his last leg, and if we didn't feel River Tree, boy, that community wouldn't be there. They haven't made that. Christ came in the world, and y'all say he changed the whole world. River Tree's been in Como, what, going on, what is 2013, whatever, however many years, that the community ain't changed. Just like he said, it's still trap houses on the block, it's still kids failing, it's still kids doing this and that. So if you come in and you're saying you are Christ, you come in as a Christian, you should be able to change the community and have an effect on the community. You shouldn't come in operating undercover and then just disappear.
Let's let Dr. Jenkins address that. Dr. Jenkins, is that asking way too much for a pre-K to fifth grade school to do when they say that you're supposed to change the community?
Absolutely,
it's not asking too much. It's not too much for somebody who says they are Christian and they are representing Christ. It's not too much. And it ain't about the kids. It's about you came into this community. Como is a community first. You came into this community and you felt our kids need this and that, but you ain't did nothing for the community. You haven't done one thing for the community. The focus
Let her address that question because, I mean, I don't know. That just sounds to me, this is me, and I've been neutral this whole conversation, but it just sounds like to me if I put a business in the middle of a community and whatever's going on in the community before I got there, I'm just a business coming into the community. And so am I the one business that's got to change the whole community? Is that fair to put that kind of burden on one nonprofit? I don't know. I'm just saying. That's just you know.
The churches are responsible. Everybody's responsible at home, but you came into the community, and this is what you said, that we're going to provide them, give them this great Christian education, and the community hasn't been affected. Even if it don't affect the whole community, half of it should be affected. Something should be moving in that community where, man, these kids are coming out and this and that, and then it is spread to the churches. He should have made alliances to the churches. The churches get together. They do this. They do that. But he came in with a miniature. He didn't come in with three and 5 years old. He came in with a mentorship program that had no effect in the community. It had no effect in the community.
Let's do this. Let's let her address that question. Then we got to go back to the phone line. Callers, if you would please stand by. Ms. Jenkins, if you would please address that comment.
Absolutely. So, as I said before, my goal since I've arrived here at River Tree is to make sure that every child that comes through this door receives a quality education. When you look at long-term, the different impacts and influences on a child's life and how they ultimately become successful, become financially secure, become a productive citizen in life, education is always at the top of that list. Education is always one of the number one factors that impact us and contribute to our overall success. Mm-hmm. So how does River Tree contribute is for every child that comes through this door, making sure that when that child leaves, that they have the foundation that they need in order to be successful for what comes next. We're 7 years old. That means that our oldest student is in middle school. So our middle school students have not had the opportunity to come and eliminate poverty, drugs, and all the other things that you talked about and the community. My goal, Mr. I'm sorry, I have been quiet and I have not cut you off this entire time. I remain silent. But all I'm saying is that my goal has been to educate the students. What impact have I had in this community? I pour in the lives of children every day. That is the impact. I'm not focused on anything outside of the quality education that I want to pour into the children each and every day. That's my contribution. Now, I support the Legacy Group. I support NAC. I support all 17 churches. If all of us want to come together and say, okay, we're going to focus on this initiative, you need to focus on that initiative, somebody else is going to focus on this initiative, then all of us come together and work to improve the community. But my goal is the children that walk in this door each and every day. That's who I'm going to focus on. And long term, I hope that my students go on to go in whatever direction that they want to head into, college, military, whatever that looks like. But that is, as far as I'm concerned, that's River Tree's legacy. It's my children. That's who I'm going to focus on.
All right, y'all, we're going back to the phone lines. Area code 817-808. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 817-808. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Yeah, hello. That's this you? Is Rick Francis.
Hi.
I am a current board member at River Tree Elementary. And I want to maybe add a little insight into the purpose of the school and just to talk up on behalf of Dr. Jenkins, who we've been blessed to have these last 3 years. So just to answer Mr. Lockhart, first of all, I want to applaud you for coming on and just stepping up to inquire about what's going on at River Tree and what's happening there and what are we doing, what is the purpose. I've been working in the Como community for 15 years with Dr. Brown, mentoring kids. I also mentored in the Como Elementary School. And the reason why we did that is because there was a need. There was a need to reach out and to help assist some of these kids that were struggling and having problems in these schools. That's the only purpose. Now, the purpose of River Tree was not to replace Como Elementary or Montessori or any of those other schools. It was to provide the parents with a choice on where to bring their children and what type of education they wanted to provide their kids. Now, I've been mentoring kids for probably almost 30 years, and I've been in Como for 15. So I started off at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship with Dr. Tony Evans, and we mentored in South Oak Cliff, Duffinville, DeSoto, and then I moved over into Como Elementary School. So let me first say, Mr. Lockhart, I understand where you're coming from. I know what's up. And I know also about your concerns, and I understand where you're coming from. But I'm here to tell you that the only purpose of River Tree Academy is to educate and provide an opportunity for those kids in the Como community. And these are opportunities that many of us don't have. You know, when you start talking about suburbia and upper middle class, those people can send their kids wherever they want to. But when you're in Como, you only have a few choices, Como Elementary and Montessori. And just to be clear, if you go on Fort Worth ISD and look at the performance of the schools there, you'll understand that there's a need for other options. And the reason why those other options are there is because the lack of performance. Now, Justina, Dr. Jenkins, and River Tree have came in and filled in the gap, not to replace, but to come alongside and assist and to help provide the kids with another opportunity to get a quality education, which, as we know, is the main thing that is necessary for us to move up into the upper middle class and middle class in society. Without education, most of these kids are lined up in prison, in jail, babies out of wedlock, the whole nine yards. You know the story. But I've been there for 15 years. I've never seen the Como men. I'd like to see y'all come alongside with us and assist us, because I think that this is a great opportunity for us to partner with you guys to expand and to enhance what River Tree is doing and to come alongside and support your people that are in the Como community. So first of all, I want to offer myself up to you as a resource and a point of contact. If you have any questions or you have any concerns, I'll be happy to meet with you. I know Dr. Justina, she's busy running the school. Most of all, she's trying to educate these kids, and she's trying to make sure that they are learning the ABCs of education. But me being on the board, I just want to make sure that you know that I'm available to you, and I offer up any opportunity that you guys
We got to take another caller. Can you give them your contact information?
If you just do I'm actually on the Como website, on the River Tree Academy website. Or you can reach out to Dr. Jenkins, and she'll give you my information as well. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for calling in tonight. We got to catch another caller, 817-521. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk What Works.
How you doing? This is Antonio Twin Harris. Running for city, how you doing? Running for city council. I noticed some things. One of the things I noticed is that city is a business, and doing this business, what I realized is that we have a misunderstanding when it comes down to who we are in this city. The misunderstanding is that we feel as though there's going to be some equality there, there's going to be some justice there, and what have you, and it's not going to happen. Not if we don't understand what justice and equality is. Now, again, I noticed that we are very concerned about the genocide, and I'm sorry to tell you, fellas, this is the origin of the genocide, and the reason being is because they're going to plant this, I don't want to call it a cancer, because it is one to educate our children. Now, my problem with that is, now what we do is we separate the children and their education. One called it a quality education. To me, that is just like someone saying affordable housing. Affordable housing to me meant that there was no more ownership. Quality education means to me is that there is someone who would have a so-called quality education, which means there's someone who would not have a quality or be qualified as educated. So now what really is going on here is the disenfranchisement of our children. So instead of us going into the educational system and changing the system that's already set up for us to be so-called educated, what we do, we form a new type of a system that says that this is going to be better for our children. Not taken away from the accolades and what have you and the ways that they do what they do, but again, our problem is we are expecting something that's already taken place. So again, understand that the genocide, I'm from Stop 6, just like they came and they said they were going to have an academy at the middle school that I went to, Dunbar middle school, and one of the things that I noticed in the meeting is that they had already set plans, and it had already been plowed, and the ribbon already been cut even before the ground was broken. So, again, what we need to do is focus on what Como is going to be with this educational system. So we're dealing with systems, fellas. We can't expect for an educator to understand or to talk about the politics. She is absolutely correct. Her job is to make sure that those children are educated to the best of their ability, and that's what she's set out to do. I applaud her for that, what she's doing. And again, we have somewhere dropped the ball, and the city, from my understanding and understanding, politics is, again, what we might say blocking the advancement of Como for their heritage, not their history. So what happens is that the heritage become erased by the history of the plant, or the cancer of the educational system is really the origin of that which is to become. So again, we are dealing with something far more vast than the education. We're dealing with the politics, and that's the problem. The politics, so we feel unjust because of the politics and of them pushing us out and erasing the heritage.
Thank you, Twin. Thank you. Listen, y'all, we're going to go over just a little bit tonight, because we want to get to some more callers. If you're listening via the internet at 9 o'clock straight up, you will not be able to listen to the rest of the show unless you're on the phone line. So I suggest if you want to continue to listen until we complete the show tonight, you're going to need to get on the phone lines at 515-605-9321, and then you'll be able to listen to the remainder of the show. But again, at straight up 9 o'clock, which is about 2 minutes and 50 seconds from now, that if you're listening via the internet, you will not be able to hear the rest of the show unless you're on the phone line. So again, you need to switch from the internet onto your phones at 515-605-9321 if you want to listen to the remainder of the show. Okay, I've gotten totally confused, y'all, I must admit, as to who I'm supposed to be going to now because the phone lines are jammed. But I don't know if I went to 817-526. I'm not sure if I went to you or not, but we're going to go again and just make certain. 817-526, have I already come to you?
Hey, good evening, Carrie. No, you haven't.
Okay, good evening.
Michael. Yeah, Michael Sarris here. It was good to hear Antonio Twin Harris back on the line there. I think we both ran for city council on the same ticket. But I wanted to just speak on a couple things, and I'll get off the line. And I'm speaking from my experience as a former teacher and then college and career readiness coach and school counselor. Actually, I'm still in education now, working in the financial aid office at a local college. But I think it's important, and something that I learned a lot more about when running for council is how rich the history in Como is. It's a strong community, and if you are new to the area, if you're new to learn about Como, then, you know, you need to learn fast, and you need to learn with grace and listen. Because, you know, anywhere else in this city, anywhere else in this country, the type of community engagement that we see in Como would be applauded. And so we should encourage it. You know, we shouldn't shy away from it just because we've got, you know, some strong opinions or something like that. We shouldn't get away from it or try to close it off at the end of this conversation. River Tree, having a 14-to-1 teacher-student ratio is an advantage. You know, that's something that I can comment on professionally, and, you know, it's a research-based thing. So that's a good thing. But it's not good enough if people don't know about it in the community. Wraparound services, you know, that's an advantage when you're talking about before school care, so that students don't have to be outside in the cold or the rain, after school care, so that, you know, they don't have to be waiting on their parents. You know, a lot of us are working parents. That's an advantage. But you have to give the parents and the community a chance to ask their questions and to get clear answers, because it is the parents who carry all the power in public schools. You know, so if they have a concern, you better believe it's going to be addressed because it's their tax dollars going into it. And I think that with every good thing that River Tree is doing and trying to do, we need to keep that in mind when it comes to private education. You know, if a parent has a concern, that's a problem because we need to address it. If a community and a group of parents have concerns, then we need to address it in a community forum, and we need to do it until those concerns are addressed and those questions are answered. That is what we owe our parents. You know, that's what we owe the people in the community that are going to work, you know, that are buying the products, that are providing a home for our children, because as important as school is, Dr. Jenkins has said, commenting on research, and I also have my grad degree, there is no larger, more impactful factor in a person's life than their home, and that's the parents that are providing that home. So we need to make sure that these parents, that this community gets answers to their questions, and we shouldn't end it at the end of this call. It shouldn't be a, you know, one meeting at 10 a.m. when all the parents are working. You should have something in the morning, something in the evening. Make sure that you're commenting on what it is that you're trying to do. Make sure you're allowing parents to speak about their concerns. And again, you know, Como is an especially important community to find out about, to learn about, and to engage with, because, you know, the community leaders there, they're not going anywhere. And they've been doing this a long time, and they will be heard, and they should be heard. And those are my comments.
Thank you, Michael. Okay, y'all, I see quite a few of y'all on the phone line tonight. If you got a question, we're going to take it, and then we're going to get out of here. So if you got a question for the Legacy Group or the statements that were made in the Facebook post, or if you have a question for Dr. Jenkins, you need to pose it now, or we're going to get out of here. Legacy, do you have any final comments before we get out of here tonight? There's three of you on the line.
This is Carlisle. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, so I got a question for the guy that's that, I can't remember his name, but he's on the board at River Tree.
Okay. He's not. I'm sorry. I had to. He's on his phone. Let me check. I think he's no longer on the phone lines, but I'm sure he's still. He's going to be able to listen. But Dr. Jenkins can pass that information on to him. I don't think he's any. He's on the phone line any longer. Oh no.
She wouldn't be able to answer that question, no problem. But
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me make sure that. Are you the person that was on the board?
Yes.
808.
Yeah, 808. Yep, Rick.
What's your name again?
Rick Francis.
Rick. Okay. I just want to say that guy and Rick. So when you say that you could be our go-to with the board, are you presenting it to the board yourself, or are you willing to bring the board with you and meet with Legacy?
Either or.
Because
whatever works out for you guys, you know, I just want to make sure that we're clear that we're not here to work against you. We're here to work with you.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, because I just think, you know, that when you have the in-between, you know, like, okay, well, I'll relay this message. And, you know, when you're relaying messages, sometimes the words get twisted around. So that's the plug, you know, if it can be just to sit down to get an understanding and talk about it. Okay. So that was my only question.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, anytime you guys want to meet, I can meet with you, and I know that the board is more than happy to meet with you guys as well. So again, we just want to make sure that we bring everything to the surface and that everybody is clear on our objectives and what we're here for. And you know, the key is, again, the kids, and that is our primary focus. That is the focus for the land. That is the focus for the expansion. That is the focus for everything that we're doing to support Dr. Jenkins and what she's doing with these kids as well. we have no other alternatives. So I'll be happy to address any issues that you guys may have.
Well, I hope we can get together and do that soon, because that's something that's really should be addressed real soon.
Yeah, and I apologize, because I think that it shouldn't have gotten to the point that it has, that we should have done a better job in communicating and doing more outreach within the community, especially the Como Legacy guys. So we want to make sure we rectify that issue. All right, cool. Appreciate you.
That's a great outcome. Okay, listen, if you are on the phone lines, I don't think I made it clear. If you do want to speak, you press 1 now, and that will let me know that you want to speak to either Legacy or Dr. Jenkins, or we're about to get out of here. I think 214-598, I don't recognize seeing your number earlier. Good evening, you're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 214-598.
Yeah, good evening. My name is William Young. I'm a member of Legacy, as well as a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. I've sat in and listened to the discussion, and I'm going to speak on something that's personal as it relates to River Church. I'm always pro-education, but I'm also pro-preservation. And I'm calling into question the moral position of the River Tree expansion at how its effect will be on the community, but more importantly, how is it, if River Tree is for the community, kicking out my mom, who is a long-time resident of the community, and a beloved resident, is going against what I've heard tonight about the River Tree being for the community. You know, to make room for a school in the neighborhood that they're not even aware of nor asked for is something that definitely needs to be addressed and talked about. But my question again will be, how can you be for the neighborhood at the expense of an 89-year-old lady and her livelihood? If you sat on the porch with my mom on any given day, you will see how important being in her home is a blessing. To have a sense of security knowing that you have the protection of the entire community is invaluable, but also is a place of familiarity to those who come and sit with her on that porch. The word community is being thrown around, but community doesn't throw away its residents. Community doesn't erase its history. Yes, that's exactly what's happening with the displacement of living history, which is my mom. It was mentioned, you know, Ms. Jenkins has said that a lot of things that transpired was prior to her arrival, so this is not against her at all. But when the former head of school, Terrence Butler, made a verbal promise in front of myself, my mom, and her neighbor, that as long as River Tree owned that property and she was living, she would never have to worry about moving. Fast forward, when it shared with the board, it fell on deaf ears. And ironically, Terrence Butler came down with a case of Negronesia, because he don't remember what he bought. Yet now we are being told that we have to find my 88-year-old mom, who will be 89 in the month that she has to be out, a place to live. And at this point in her life, her golden years, that's the last thing that she should be concerned about. But more importantly, you know, if this was the plan of River Tree 3.5 years ago, we were just told November 20th of 2021. However, it was mentioned that, you know, they were discussing the roof. They were discussing rent. But it was never discussed in those 3.5 years ago plans that this would be the outcome of where my mom is living, that her house would be knocked down to make room for a school parking lot that's a part of the school. Not the school, but the parking lot. And to add injury to insult, the fact that her neighbor did not sell, so now they have to build and accommodate around her house. Why not include my mom's in that? Because what I've heard before is the word Christian, and it keeps getting used, but it's not Christian like to take away the lifeline of a beloved resident rather than try to accommodate her just as they will with her neighbor. And I don't understand, how is it that, again, I'm not against education, but we're talking about what has happened and has affected my family and my mom for the sake of an extension of that. Again, when we mentioned this and talked to the community, there wasn't any type of town hall meeting to invite the community out to discuss what the future plans were for that block of Bonnell. Because if it had been, and they said it would be also would have to cost the living of Miss Cleo and where she's located, the neighborhood would be against it. I know that for a fact because every time I share this story about what's going on, they're up in arms about it because it's not right. At the end of the day, my mom should not be looking for a place to live at this point in her life for a fucking parking lot. I'm sorry, but it's not right. And what was said and promised to her in her living room by the former head of school is now as if it never happened. It's frustrating. And so we're angry because, again, you're displacing a beloved resident. Yeah, you keep throwing the word community around. Community, our community don't throw away its residents. And they damn sure don't throw away the elders of the community. And so if they really was about saving faith in regards to being a true force in the community and helping to give it back and get everybody on board, then call an open meeting for the whole community to come out and share your plans and your stories with them on how this will benefit them. But more importantly, don't throw my mom away because at the end of the day, you're going to have to build around her neighbor's house. So why not include her? And it's not about a bad roof because we got that covered. It's not about anything other than the fact that we want to make sure that my mom and her golden years at 89, this is the last thing that she needs to be worried about. And again, well, I'm all for education. But
let's let Dr. Jenkins and the board member respond to that.
I'm actually glad that Mr. Young called in because I will be honest, and when all of this happened and I started to see the Facebook post and I saw it for the first time, I really asked myself, was that really the reason why we were having this conversation? Because when I read the post, I knew clearly that a lot of the things that were said about the quality of the education of the students was not true. And I knew that no one had reached out to me or anyone on my team about the quality of the education of our students. Because if they had reached out to me, then the things that I shared on this call tonight, they would have found out very quickly. So my question was, is this really about the land, and is this really about the situation with Ms. Cleo? So I'm actually glad, I'm actually glad that Mr. Young called in. Mr. Young, the goal is not to, you use the phrase, throw Ms. Cleo away. That is not the goal. When I came to you last year, what I said to you is that I want to do everything I possibly can to help with a transition for Ms. Cleo. I wanted to make sure that I was able to go to any parties involved and make a plea to help transition Ms. Cleo well. You denied that opportunity. You denied me of that opportunity.
What I wanted to do was to make a transition plan.
I wanted to make a transition plan.
Let her finish her thought, brother. Let her finish her thought.
Well, because what she said is not true, and that was my problem. It wasn't you guys offered any type of transition, because when you said we have a house that she could move to, you came back later and said it would cost too much money to get the house movable. At the end of the day, if you were truly about my mom, you would have had a list of other properties or other avenues that she could have used to go to say, okay, we can do this. So to say that you offered some type of help in transition is not true at all, because the one time that you did, when you went back to the office, you said it would cost too much for us to get that property movable rent. So at the end of the day, that's a lie. Y'all are not about trying to help my mom, because, again, if you were, this wouldn't even be in discussion, because she shouldn't be coming up on the queue to have her house knocked down for a school that the neighborhood even asked for or know about. Well, I'm questioning the moral basis of Google Street as it relates to how they treat this quote-unquote community. Because no community that I know of would ever throw away their resident, and that's exactly what y'all are doing. You're throwing her away. Because not one of y'all comes to say, this is what we got for you to move. She's 88 years old.
She's 88 years old. She's been in the house for 38 years on a fixed income. So you think it's easy for her to just pack up and move? No. But again, it's justified and explained it by bringing it to the community and hear it play out in a court of public appeal. And I'm sorry, there's not anyone on this phone that can tell me otherwise that what is being done is justifiable and right, because it's not. Because you're not in the space of what I deal with when it comes to my mom every day and how this is wearing on her physically. Because this is what she shouldn't be worried about. Because when the plan came up 3.5 years ago, why didn't y'all say something then? And you can't speak on it just because you wasn't here. So for you to be also always matter of fact about things that you weren't here for, is irrelevant. What Terrence Bullard said in front of her versus what's being said now is a complete contradiction. So I'm not trying to hear anything other than the fact that either my mom can stay and we're going to work with her or we got someone else for her. Otherwise, there's nothing else to discuss. Unless again, we come to the board collectively and talk about it. But what Lockhart brought up and what I'm talking about are two different things. So please don't connect the two to say that the education, what Lockhart is talking about, and the purpose of retreat has anything to do or the reason for what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my mom. I just have to be also supported by my Brothers of Legacy, as well as the community, as well as Kappa Alpha Fraternity Corporate and other great unions.
River Tree board member, how would you address this caller?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I definitely identify and relate to his passion about this issue. You know, I too have a mom. She's almost 80, and she's been in a house where she's raised their kids, and I know how hard it would be to move her. But let me just say, a primary importance to us was the matter was brought to the board, and the board addressed it only from a safety and security issue for his mom. That was our primary concern in how we addressed the issue. Now, I don't want to go into details because I'm not at liberty to do so, but we would be happy to sit down and meet with him to discuss it further. Dr. Jenkins has, I know, worked diligently to come to a amicable conclusion on what we can do. But at the end of the day, there is some stuff that was done prior to, you know, like he was saying, some promises that may have been made that we were not privy to before the fact. So the issue is not what was done in the past, but how do we move forward? And so, again, I'd just like to say that we're here to listen and to help work with you guys. So we're definitely not trying to throw anybody to the curb. That is our last that is the last thing on our mind. As I said, I got a mom, she's 80 years old almost, and in the same type situation, but we're able to help her out. So we want to work with you, and we're here to listen to you.
And that was the same way that Terrence Butler came. Yes, and that's perfect, because that was the same thing that Terrence Butler said. He has a mother that's an elder. He's familiar. He loves come on. He got family come on, so he understands. And when he said to her that as long as River Tree owns that property, she never has to worry about leaving, we took his word. Because in that time, 3.5 years ago, there was a transition that took place. There was another landlord that bought the property, and they increased the rent. And then River Tree came along 2 months later, and that's when we met Terrence Butler, and he introduced himself. So we're all open to the idea of sitting down with the board and coming up with a plan that will work for all parties involved. But I'm fine with that. I'm just not interested. I'm just going, and I'm saying again, at the end of the day, it's no disrespect to Justina, but you can't speak on something that you wasn't here for 3.5 years ago, and I'm not trying to do that now. So now going forward, I've got the word from the board member. I'm fine with that. You guys have a good evening. I'm out.
Wonderful. Thank you. 817-889. Last call we're taking tonight. 817-889.
Hey, this is Dr. Brown. And,
hey, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I've been online for a while trying to get through. I didn't know I had to push one. I apologize. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Obviously, I've heard my name quite a bit tonight, and I don't really want to call to defend myself, but do want to speak up for River Tree because I really do care passionately about our kids and about what we're doing. I think what we're doing is really, really important, and we are changing the lives of kids. Just to speak on a couple things. First, as far as the shady past, I was there, and there's nothing shady about it. Those properties were bought. The ones that came from the city were on a public auction that I found out about on my own. Nobody told me about it, and I lived in the neighborhood already and wanted to buy whatever was available so I could help the neighborhood, and that's what I tried to do. And so I bid on them with everybody else, and I got some. I didn't get some, but the ones we got on that block helped us to get the block, and the other ones we bought from private people. We didn't have any connections to the city. Dr. Bird didn't have any part in it. I didn't have any connection to the city council, and still don't, except that I do work with Dr. Bird. So when he was on city council, we were partners in our medical practice. So you asked why Como, and I will tell you, the day I drove into Como, it was, all I can say is like a spiritual experience. I really felt the sense of God saying this is a place where I could invest my time and energy and life. And so I went first to all the pastors I could find and started meeting with them, talked to them. Some of them talked to me, some of them didn't. Pastor Maurice Barnes had me up in his office, and we sat and talked, and I said, hey, I'm young. I don't know what to do, but what can I do? And he gave me some advice. And some guys drinking beer on the corner on Prevost, I stopped and talked to them, and they said, hey, what you could do is help the kids. And so we started a camp for kids called Opportunity Camp back in 2006 or 7. And I started mentoring a few boys. 10 boys from that first camp. I mentored them for years. I'm still friends with them, and they're grown men now. But as I mentored those guys, had a chance to just see them grow up, and I saw some of their educational challenges. They still are struggling some with some gaps in their education, I would say. So I dreamed of starting a school, and I thought, I want to start a school in the Como neighborhood where the kids in Como can have a chance at an education like my kids had an opportunity to get. And so I made a lot of mistakes in it. I won't argue about that. But the reason we're there is because I love Como, and I love the kids at Como, and I believe in the kids at Como. And I can just tell you from my heart, there is nothing that we've done that I feel ashamed of. I'm nothing shady, nothing under the table. We're doing what we're doing for the kids, and I would love to sit on top of you guys at some point. Mr. Young, the issue with your mom, I'll just tell you, I talked to your mom this week on the phone, and just trying to figure out what we can do to help. And Dr. Jenkins is right. We have had conversations. I was there when Mr. Butler was talking to Ms. Cleo, and I'll tell you, we bought that property from an investor, and we didn't know she lived there. He didn't tell us anything about her being there. So I got a phone call from Jerome Woolen, and he said, hey, Dr. Brown, why are you kicking Ms. Cleo out? And I said, I had no idea there was somebody there. I'd love to do whatever we can to help. And so we did. We stepped in and we said, hey, we want to help. But from the very beginning, Terrence knew and we all knew that that land was land we wanted to build a school on someday. And so he informed us that that was the way he was communicating to her, and I believe him. I won't argue with you, so I don't know what to say about that. But from the very beginning, we wanted to help her as long as we could until we needed that land for the school, and then we wanted to do everything we could to help her find a place. And every time I heard about conversations with her, I was told she didn't want to do anything to stay right there. And so as we tried to offer options, we weren't able to pick them up with anything that she wanted, and that's why we got to the place right now. So I know that doesn't answer all the questions, but I just want you guys to know I really do. I want to talk and communicate because I really do love Como, and I want to do what's right. I don't have any land in Como except the house my family lived in. I don't own anything. The school, we did buy some properties that we ended up donating to the school. The rest, we don't have anymore, and I didn't make any significant profit off that. It was buying some land that we were able to sell and then get our money back so we could give the land to come up to River Tree that we were able to give to them. So that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for calling tonight. Listen, we got to get out of here, so we're going to give Mr. Michael Markhart final comments, as well as Dr. Jenkins final comments, and we're going to get out of here tonight. Mr. Lockhart.
Yes, I'm here. All right, so this all started with my post. The whole reason of that post didn't have anything to do with his mom at all. The reason of the post came from what I heard from people in the community and what I started observing with my eyes. And The history part of it with Dr. Brown and stuff, he's here, if he's willing to talk to us and stuff, and he can talk to us face-to-face, that's cool. That's what we wanted from the beginning, was just conversation. So the whole reason for my post was the kids. Black kids are at a disadvantage so much that when I hear somebody say they educate them and they want to give them a Christian education, and then that's all they have, and then if you look at the history, that people always use that excuse, Christ, they come in and conquer with the cross. They everything is done under the name of Christ. So, yeah, we suspicious because we don't know your intentions, and all the intentions have been undercover and not where the public can see them. And then when you look at the people around the issue, it's like, yeah, they just got a nonprofit ring where they can just make money off these nonprofits, and they do this and do that and run around. So if that's not the case, that's why we've been asking for conversation. We tried to get in contact, but like I said, I always go talk to Justine, or we can never get to the people who matter and can answer the really real questions. But the education part is important because our kids are at a disadvantage, so they need to be able to get an education that teaches them who they are, show them that don't care the history, let them know where they've been, where they come, and whose shoulders they stood on. As far as even in Como, we had a great history in Como that's getting erased, and everything. So our kids need to be educated. They need to know who they are. They need, just a Christian education ain't good enough. Christian is on the personal side. If the Christian part of it was good enough as far as education in the world, then MIT, Harvard, Yale, I'll be Christian school. I'm not talking about it at that point. Our kids, all I want is our kids to be educated. Don't just push Christ down their throat and then think that's all. They need to be educated on all the things that's against them from the time they step out as a black person in this world. There's things that they need to be taught. They need to be taught African-American history. They need to be taught entrepreneurship. I feel they need to be taught STEM. They need to be taught artificial intelligence. There's things that we could do to educate our kids better and prepare them for the world. And what I was seeing in the videos wasn't it. When I seen y'all have a spelling bee and they up there asking the kids to spell three-letter words, but my four-year-old daughter is doing that right now, so why would I be impressed with a second, third grader, whatever, spelling three-letter and four-letter words? That's not the education that I want for our kids. That's what my focus is on the education of our kids. And that was the whole point of my post, that they want to educate them right, and that people have misused Christ in the past to use it to conquer and to take over people because they come in smiling and then they think,
we got to get out of here before they cut us off. Let's do this. I don't see Dr. Jenkins anymore. Some kind of way she must have dropped off. So I'm going to let the board member close out for River Tree, and we're going to get out of here. Mr. Board Member, can you close out for River Tree? Final comment?
Yeah, so, hey, Mr. Lockhart, you are that dude we've been looking to meet with. So we definitely appreciate your concern and bringing up these issues to us. And, again, as Dr. Brown said, we have no nefarious intent at all on what we're doing, but to educate the kids, to teach them to learn well, lead well, love well, and work well, and be pillars in the community. And we have actually one of your own in the Como community that's on our board. So that's what we're trying to replicate throughout Como, just providing these kids with an option to get a great education that will enable them to move forward and be a shining light to Como and who you are and the legacy that you guys have built there and a legacy to the world at large. So that's what we want to do, and we appreciate your concern and bringing this to the forefront, and we're glad we had the opportunity to come and answer hopefully some of your concerns and questions, and look forward to meeting with you.
Wonderful. Listen, thank you so much to Michael Lockhart for making that post and the legacy members who stopped by tonight, as well as Dr. Justina Jenkins with River Tree Academy. Thank you, the audience, for listening tonight. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight, a little past time where we typically don't go this long, but we felt a need tonight to bring closure to this situation. A reminder, y'all, listen, we are looking for new content. If you have an idea for a show, post something on Facebook and tag me, like Sister Lockhart did, and it just might get a show done just like this one tonight was done. Also, like, we'd like for you to advertise with us here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. If you have a product, a service, a campaign, a business, we'd like you to advertise with us or be a sponsor for us here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. We try to bring you great content every single week, just like tonight. So consider either being an advertiser or a sponsor for us here at Let's Talk Fort Worth. Also, we have a street team. If you got a story and you need us to come out and cover, we got a street team. So listen, reach out to us at letstalkfortworth@aol.com, and we will definitely consider it. A disclaimer, again, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, the host, or our future advertisers. With that said, until next week, good night.